wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. James, the Lord's brother. This is my final message on the mother, the four brothers, and the sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ. The most prominent of those brothers was James, the Lord's brother. The Holy Spirit, in writing the Holy Scriptures, calls James the Lord's brother. How dare any religion teach that Mary and Joseph had no children after the birth of Mary's firstborn son, Jesus? A religion that would defy the Holy Spirit and the Holy Bible is no safe guide for anyone to follow. In our last study, I trust that we all saw ourselves in those brothers and sisters of our Lord. We see our indifference to all of God's revelations to us. His Son, His Spirit, and His Word. And yet for so many years, we went on in our sins and folly, and many still go on that way. And in their pride, we see our own self-righteousness in those foolish days before we repented before God. Neighbor, do you still persist in such an evil course? You and I were just like the brothers of Jesus. Don't try to dodge the truth. Face the fact of your own sin and guilt before God. Be honest about it. God hates hypocrisy. Don't try to cover up your wickedness, for all will come to light in the day of judgment. And don't try to improve yourself so you can glory in your achievement, for your pride may be worse than your sin. Some turn to the right hand in their pride, while others turn to the left hand and plunge deeper into their sins. Both are bad wrong. Turn to Jesus in real repentance and forsake your sins and resign your pride. Then, as it was with our Lord's brothers, so may it be with you. They were broken down at Calvary. That sight of Jesus on a criminal's cross, bleeding in agony and pain, to be their Savior, while he looked on them in such loving compassion and then prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." All this was too much for them. They had watched many a sacrificial lamb bleed and die on a Jewish altar, but when they saw Jesus offer himself as the one sacrifice for sins forever and give his own blood for their redemption, and then they saw that empty tomb and knew that God had raised him from the dead, those brothers of our Savior made a complete surrender to him as their Lord and Christ. Often in those days at the carpenter's shop in Nazareth, when Jesus, as the oldest son, after the death of Joseph, ran the shop, they had told Jesus they were going to do what they wanted to do and not what he said. But now it was different. He was their Lord and Master, and the humble confession of their hearts was, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" They once inwardly scorned their mother, Mary, when she said, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." But now, all that rebellion was gone, and their delight was to do his will. Neighbor, this is real Bible conversion. Don't claim to be a Christian while you still live your life the way you want to live it, and you pattern it after this evil world. A Christian is one who belongs to Christ, and confessing him as his Lord and Savior, he renders wholehearted obedience to him. But what would the Lord make of those four brothers? They became his devoted servants, going forth to preach his salvation. Many have the idea that to serve the Lord, they must be preachers, so they try and fail, and then backslide and blame their condition to not preaching. But when the Lord wants one to serve him in the ministry of the gospel, he gifts him as an evangelist and gives him an equal measure of grace to exercise that gift. If he wants one to preach to the heathen, he gives him grace to leave his business and home to be a rugged missionary. But when one has neither gift nor grace, yet says he's called to preach, his wires are crossed. Every Christian is called to serve the Lord. For each one, he has a place of service in the great harvest field. It may be in personal work as a tract distributor or Bible co-porter, or to help other servants of the Lord. maybe a missionary helper to build his buildings, run his press or repair his machines, or to be a missionary nurse or a school teacher. Oh, what a host of humble services for consecrated Christians to do. The Holy Spirit is the Lord of the harvest, and we should ask Him what He wants us to do. Only as Christians are completely yielded to the Holy Spirit will we find the work for which we are best fitted. But I must pause to say a word to someone listening to me today. The Lord Jesus has gifted you to preach His gospel, and your brethren discerned in you that certain, though undeveloped, gift to preach. And the Lord has given you a burden for lost souls, so you're utterly miserable since you have turned aside. Let us take warning. It has been said heaven will be two heavens to you if you find there one you led to Christ. To this I must add, you'll be the saddest man in heaven if you fail to preach the gospel after the Lord has gifted you and called you and given you His grace. That is why Paul said, "Woe is me if I preach not the gospel." Imagine what heaven would have been to Peter and John had they returned to their fishing for the rest of their lives. Of those four brothers of our Lord, we first read of their definite conversion as they took their stand with a little band of Christians. To show that this was true of all four of them, the Bible says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." Only 50 days before Pentecost, they so despised the Lord Jesus. Let us then not despair for our relatives who still rebel against the claims of Christ as Lord. They may just as suddenly get converted. Let us pray more earnestly for them and not give them up. People often get converted when it seems most unlikely. Who was so hopeless looking as was Saul of Tarsus and our Lord's four brothers? Scoffers have gone to meetings to make fun, yet stay to pray. Infidels have started to write books against Christ, but when they investigate the facts, they proclaim the faith they started to destroy. Calvary's cross looked like the triumph of God's enemies, but He made it their defeat. Our God is still the living God, working wonders in the hearts and lives of men. In following the history of the early Christians in the Bible, we read of how Herod killed with a sword James, the brother of John. This James was one of our Lord's chosen three, and after his resurrection, the Lord honored James by personally appearing to him, as the Bible says. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. In that personal appearing, our Lord doubtless told him that he would be the first of the apostles to be killed, and to assure him that a crown of life awaited him as one faithful unto death. James, the brother of John, was killed, but James, the Lord's brother, lived to serve the Lord here. When Paul visited Jerusalem, he spoke of seeing Peter and James, the Lord's brother. And Paul speaks of James, Cephas, and John as being pillars in the church at Jerusalem, and how they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the Gentiles and they unto the Jews. So we learn that the Holy Spirit made James an able minister of Jesus Christ to the Jews. His God-given ability was so seen by the apostles that he was given a prominent place in the church at Jerusalem. And when the big question arose as to the Gentile believers being brought into the fellowship of the church together with the Jewish believers, the complete accord of James, the preacher to the Jews, settled that great crisis in the church at Jerusalem. Thus James was uniquely honored as both a minister of the gospel and a minister of the church. And when the Holy Spirit needed a writer for his epistle to the 12 tribes of Israel, as they were scattered abroad throughout the world, he chose James to write that most practical New Testament epistle, that book that tells us about the law and our tongues too, about war and lust and prayer, and will always be known for its chapter about the works of faith. What a treasure is that letter of just five short chapters. Our Bible would be incomplete without that epistle called James. James's experiences in preaching to the Jews fitted him to write that book that has brought blessing to so many. This was the apex of his fruitful ministry for the Lord Jesus. But what about our Lord's other brothers? In our Bible, we read of them all as Paul compares Barnabas and himself with others of the Lord's faithful servants, the preachers of the word, saying, "Have not we power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas?" From this we learn that both Peter, other scriptures speak of Peter's wife's mother, and the apostles and the brethren of the Lord were married men. And yet religions in our day not only advise their priests not to marry, but positively forbid them to. Peter could never have been one of their preachers, yet they claim him as their founder. These four brethren of our Lord were all married men, and they all went from place to place preaching Christ. What a revelation of the mercy of God to rebellious sinners and the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. Truly, it was the grace of Christ working in the hearts and lives of men. Thus we see the end of the matter, a real victory for God and a defeat for the devil. Neighbor, God now wants to show you his mercy. The Holy Spirit is ready to make you a child of God by being born again. And the Lord Jesus wants to make even you a trophy of his grace. James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, our Lord's four brothers, all served their generation by the will of God. Today, God needs more witnesses to a lost world that is about to plunge over the falls of eternal despair. The call goes forth, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Will you accept the challenge, as did Isaiah, and say, "Lord, send me"? Will you make a complete surrender to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If so, his grace will save you, his grace will change you, and his grace will use you to glorify God. Thus you too will be an eternal testimony to the amazing grace of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And in heaven, where we shall learn more of the grace of God to our Lord's four brothers, we shall also learn of his grace to you and to me. Grace to save and grace to change and use us. At this point, some sincere soul may say, "I don't understand how one can have a personal experience with Jesus Christ when he is not here to see and hear him." Listen to this Bible verse. "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more." Those four brethren of our Lord knew Jesus after the flesh for 30 years, and to them he was but their brother. But that did not save them. They must know Christ by a spiritual relationship, and that made him henceforth to them their Lord, their Savior, and their God, and they were his servants to do his will. If you and I were on earth when the Lord Jesus preached and healed, we might have been just like multitudes of others, so close to him physically, but still with no personal experience of salvation in him. The multitudes thronged him, but only one touched him in faith. A house full ate with him, but only one wept in repentance at his feet and heard him say, "Thy sins are forgiven, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." This shows it was not seeing and hearing him by natural eyes and ears, but it was personal faith that saved them, and that you and I can know today without seeing him or hearing his preaching in person by sight. Faith makes the Lord Jesus more real to me than were my eyes to see him. Here is how it works today. As you have read the Bible and have heard the gospel of Christ preached, God has revealed to you in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior you need. If you are ready to repent and forsake your wicked sins and be saved and changed by God, then do this. Get alone and in God's presence. He will see you and hear you. Tell him that you do repent and cry to him for his mercy. Then thank the Lord Jesus for dying for your sins and call on him to save and change you as you now receive him to be your Lord and your Savior. Confess your faith in him as the living Lord in heaven and tell him that you now trust him alone with your soul and your life, now and forevermore, as you now desire to live for him and tell others of him. With this confession, alone with God, he will make real to you that he has saved you and received you into his church and his everlasting kingdom forever. This the Bible describes in these words: "Our Lord Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, we love, and whom, though now we see him not, yet believing, we rejoice with joy unspeakable." The faith that saves is not by a physical sight of Jesus, but by faith He becomes so real to us, we love him. And that faith in our unseen Lord Jesus brings a peace with God and a joy in our Lord and Savior that is deeper and greater than words could describe. May this be your experience today, now. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.
I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.